If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Janet Gardner's attorneys filing a motion this last week to dismiss the indictment against her. Gardner charged with the first-degree murder in February 2022 and the death of her ex-husband, Jared Breitigan. Mario Fernandez Saldana, her husband at the moment, also charged with first-degree murder. The reason that they are asking to have this dismissed, well, it has something to do with what is called the taint team. The filing criticizes a lack of training and protocol for the agent assigned to the taint team. Essentially, that's someone who goes in, a third party, and says, okay, this is evidence, this is personal material, and has nothing to do with the case, or this is attorney-client privilege material, and it needs to be separated this way or that way. Joining me to discuss and help explain this a little bit better than I can, Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Is it the grounds good enough for dismissing the case? Or explain this a little bit more to us, what exactly they're saying happened and why they think it should be dismissed.
So essentially what they're saying happened is that the prosecuting attorney in the case accessed information, which is probably attorney work product from Gardner's attorney, between communications between Gardner and her attorney. And that would not be discoverable in terms of, like, if it's trial strategy or theory or anything like that.
Sure.
It would be considered something that the prosecutor should not have their hands on. I don't know what they saw.
You know
what I mean? At this point, we don't know what was seen in terms of whether it was trial strategy. You know, like, typically what happens in a situation like that is that's when you get a special prosecutor that's appointed to the case, and whoever the prosecutor that was on it that was exposed to the work product should be removed, and the special prosecutor would then take over the case. And so that's essentially what's going on. It sounds like that there was evidence that was acquired by law enforcement that was then accessed by the prosecuting attorney, which it shouldn't have been, because typically, like, law enforcement will say, hey, you know, like, I just want to let you know, some of the evidence that we got from the Google, from the Google data is information that is relating, you know, between Gardner and her attorney. There's some privileged communications here. You know, you may not want to take a look at this, you know, because you'll be conflicted out of it. So I'm imagining that that's what happened here. Whether or not this is going to amount to the charges being dropped, I highly, highly doubt it.
Sure. Is it enough, though, where they should appoint a special prosecutor if this, in fact, did take place the way that they're describing?
Yeah. I mean, that's the entire purpose of a special prosecutor. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what I was saying should have happened on Delphi. Like, when, you know, it became, and I always go back to Delphi, but you and I talk about Delphi
yes,
a lot.
Yes.
And a lot, like, in Delphi kind of has everything. And when McClelland, who's the prosecutor in that case, had stated that, you know, he had read messages between one of Richard Allen, the defendant in that case, is one of his attorneys and somebody else that he was discussing trial strategy with. When McClelland admitted that in a pleading, I was saying, well, this McClelland's got to go. They need to put a special prosecutor has to be appointed because he's seen things that he's not supposed to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things like, you know, anything that they're going to put in a trial is discoverable evidence. But in terms of attorney work product, which are your thoughts, again, your feelings, your strategies, anything that you're thinking about in terms of preparing for the trial itself as the attorney is not discoverable either by the state or the defense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get to know what the prosecutor's, but, you know, private thoughts are about the trial,
yeah,
what their strategy is going to be, and vice versa. And when that takes place, it changes, it skews the ability to have a fair trial because that person now has an advantage, whether no matter which side it is, over the other in terms of us getting to where we need to go. And really, we're talking about the defendant's right to a fair trial ultimately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just need everybody playing by the rules, and, you know, attorney work product is, you know, it's something that nobody's supposed to lay eyes on. I mean, that's the one thing that I don't have to turn over, even if the state's asking for it. You know, it's like, then the judge's going to say, no, that's work product. You don't get to see it. So if that's what took place, it's an issue, you know, and I imagine that ultimately the remedy for this will be, if that is the scenario, the judge in, like, I think probably in about every state has the ability to say, okay, well, I'm removing from the case and I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor, who typically in states are floaters. You know, they'll float and they'll bounce from county to county, and wherever they need somebody to come in and try a case that's not in that prosecutor's office, they'll come in and they'll try it. So if that's the case, I think that will ultimately be the remedy, as opposed to dismissing the case, that they'll just appoint a special prosecutor.
Is it kind of rolling the dice doing that and bringing this issue to light? You got to probably determine, well, what did they access? What relevance is it? How important is it? Who is the current prosecutor? And who might you get as a special prosecutor if you have the one kicked off the case? I suppose if you have what you would view as a weak prosecutor, you'd probably want to keep that one there. I don't know who's prosecuting this off the top of my head. I don't know what the state of all that is in. But if you viewed him as a fairly strong prosecutor and this came to light, and even if it really wasn't that detrimental of information, this would be a way, I guess, to roll the dice and see who else may come along on the wheel of potential prosecutors that you're going to be going against.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the, you know, and I hate to keep bringing up Delphi, but that was the thing that I was thinking about with McClelland. Like, you know, if I'm Rosie and Baldwin, the defense attorneys on that one, and I know that this popped up and I know that McClelland saw things that he wasn't supposed to see, but I also know that he's pretty green in terms of being a prosecutor and has never even tried a murder case. Maybe I'm not running to get him removed in the fear of that they're going to put a more experienced prosecutor on the case, you know? So, which goes right to your point. Yeah. I think that always comes into play. Ultimately, if it gets in the hands of the judge, however, the judge isn't going to care about those kind of logistics. You know, the judge is going to say, okay, well, you know, I find that the conflict exists here. You know, you access things that you shouldn't have. You have access to attorney work product. I'm booting you. You know what I mean? So, because anybody can bring the motion, like the defense can bring the motion. Prosecutors oftentimes are the ones who bring the motion if they realize that there's a conflict that exists and that, you know, that their office should be removed from the case. And then they'll file the motion to have a special prosecutor appointed. So, and then of course the judge can do it as well. So, I mean, it'll depend on what was seen. And, you know, and will depend on ultimately when it gets argued, which I'm sure when this motion to dismiss, obviously we're going to get a lot more information in terms of what they're talking about, in terms of what was viewed and mishandled. So at that point, we'll know. And ultimately, the judge themselves may make the motion to have a special prosecutor appointed.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.